When it comes to my ride, I don't mess around. Advantage Chevrolet. 3 locations, Chicagoland's covered. You want a Chevy? They've got it. You want savings? Oh, yeah. Most important, trust. No runaround. They shoot you straight. Advantage Chevrolet Bridgeview. Together, let's drive.
Keeps going to the 29, and that will do it. Seattle reigns above them all in the NFL. The Seahawks, Super Bowl champions for the second time.
That was Mike Tirico on NBC. You're back in February. Super Bowl champs. I need that, buddy. That's not scratch paper.
I got you. It's next.
Do you not have your...
I just tore them all up.
2 hours ago, the show started with Jericho wondering who Milwaukee played last night. And now we've arrived at our NFL prediction show, and you don't know, have your predictions?
I'm an NFL expert, Carm. What are you talking about? NFL expert here, John Yurkovich.
Seahawks are the defending champs. That was the final call earlier this year. Next February, or this coming February.
Yes.
On Valentine's Day,
yes.
On ABC and ESPN.
Right.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be on the call from L.A., and who will be hoisting the trophy? Yurko and I are going to try to tell you in our annual prediction show.
That's right.
And we're off and running. Do you have all yours?
Or? Yeah, it's fine. Just tell me where we're starting. Just tell me where we're starting. AFC or NFC?
Let's start in the NFC.
Let's do it.
You put a lot of thought into this, I see.
I always do.
So you're going to write these down just as we go?
That's right.
Okay. NFC North champions.
I already know where you're going. Detroit.
I am also going with the Lions, I hate to say.
I've got them finishing 12-5.
Yeah?
Yes.
You even got a win total peg
yes,
to, 12 to, and attached
5
to it. I like
Detroit.
It.
Yes.
All right, Yurko and I are both going with the Lions. Gentlemen, would you like to chime in as well as we go through? Who are you going with?
I would. In the NFC North, I will take the Chicago Bears.
All right. Jack going with the beloveds.
Yes.
See, Kat?
Also like the Lions here.
All right. So 3 out of 4 like the Lions in the North. In the NFC East, Yurko, what say you?
I say you Philadelphia.
I'm going with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I figured you might.
And it's one of my best bets of the offseason. I like their over 9.5 at even money. I think their defense has got to be better, doesn't it? With Matt Eberflus being gone and Caleb Downs being there.
You would think. Yeah.
I would think it's going to be better. No, I do. I like the Cowboys a whole heck of a lot. I do like their season-long win total over. I like the price. I think they are going to win the East. Jack?
I am also going with the Cowboys. One of the best receiving corps in football this season. With Pickens and Lamb both healthy. Going to be tough to beat.
And I like Schottenheimer. I think they might have something with Schottenheimer.
Dak can throw it, man.
Yes,
Dak
he can.
Can throw it still.
When Dak stays healthy, he can still sling it.
Refocused offense. They're going to get back to running the football. No A.J. Brown circus. Eagles win the division.
Eagles. All right, so we got 2 Eagles, 2 Cowboys. Let's go to the NFC South. This is kind of your crap sandwich. I gave you the stat yesterday. No division in football has a worse winning percentage in games outside of its division than the NFC South. The last 4 seasons, and in 2 of the last 4 years, the division winner has been 8-9, and in another year, it was 9-8. So it very much has been a crap sandwich of a division. But who are you going with in the NFC South here?
I have New Orleans.
Going New Orleans.
New Orleans Saints winning the division. New Orleans Saints. Only
you know,
one team making
the playoffs.
That's
a sexy pick.
Yeah.
Because of Tyler Shuck and...
New Orleans Saints.
You know, their old line isn't bad. I still have a hard time seeing it.
I understand why.
But okay, I'm going to go with the Buccaneers. And again, I don't think you're picking a juggernaut here.
But we agree there's only one team coming out of this division.
I have only one team coming out of this division. Yes. I do. And I'm going to go with Tampa. Look, Baker did get paid here. So that's maybe
There might be some joy there.
Could be some joy there. You know what? I talk about good offensive lines. They might have the best offensive line in football. It's certainly one of them. I think that goes a long way. I like the Yaya Diaby-Ruben Bain combo off the edge. I think Ruben Bain's going to have a real good rookie year and will contribute. So I think there's a good enough amount of talent down there in a division that's going to be mediocre again, where I think Tampa gets back on top. Jack, who are you going with?
I like the Panthers, but we've talked about the schedules before. They have that first-place schedule, and it's a difficult schedule for Carolina. Because of that, I'm going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right, Tampa Bay. What are you going with, C-Cap?
Crab sandwich is right.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Going Falcons to win this division.
Wow. See, that's the reach for me. I think the Falcons are going to be kind of crummy. In fact, I have a position on their under. So I hope I'm right.
Wow.
You're wrong, Chris.
What's their under?
7.5.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, minus 120. I have under. I don't think that's a good football team. No Jalen Wright. Right. He got hurt. No James Pierce for the first 8 games.
They were 4-9 last year before they went on a 4-game run to finish the year and finished 8-9.
I think the quarterback situation down there is downright dreadful. They finally had a pass rush last year.
Yeah.
25, I believe it was, right? Combined. Do I have that right? I think it was 25 for Wright and Pierce. And now one's out for the year and one is suspended for the first 8 games, including the Bears game. Or is it 6 games? 6 or 8. I can't remember, but he'll miss the Bears game.
Right.
I don't see it with Atlanta. I think they're going to struggle. I hope I'm right. And I hope Christian's wrong because I have a position on their under. All right. So we've got one of everybody in that division. Yurko's going Saints.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
nobody's going Carolina. Yeah. We got 2 Bucks and we have 1 Falcons.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Yurko, who are you going with in the West? I think this might be unanimous.
I'm going to go with the Rams.
I'm going to go with the Rams as well. I think it's going to be a good division, but I'm going to go with the Rams.
Rams.
If the Rams didn't have to play the Seahawks twice, I might say this is a team that could win 15 games this season.
That's lofty, man.
They're that good, though. They have the best player in the league on defense. And they have the reigning MVP on offense, and their receiving core is good again.
There's no doubt
their running back core is good again. They have one of the best play callers in the sport. I'm going to go with the Rams.
All right, Rams, and it is a clean sweep.
I want to zag when people are zigging, but it's all Rams. It's whatever.
I think it's yeah. All right, we're all going Rams. Now let's get into the wild cards.
I'll name my 3.
Name your 3:
Dallas, Chicago, Seattle.
Okay, mine's almost the same. I have the Bears, I have the Seahawks, and I'm going with the Packers. And that means, yes, I'm leaving the Eagles out of the playoffs this year. They lost a lot. They lost a great receiver while he was a headache. He's still a pretty great player. Their O-line's getting older, and maybe most importantly, they lost their O-line coach, who was one of the most important people in their building for the last decade. Jeff Stoutland is gone. They also lost their passing game coordinator and their defensive backs coach to Dallas, who is now their defensive coordinator and appears to be one of the bright, young, up-and-coming defensive minds in football. So they lost 2 really important coaches.
That's where you double-dipped.
They lost Dallas. An important player. And, yeah, Dallas did double dip. I'm going to go with the Eagles. Sorry, Philly Sid. On the outside looking in. So I'll go Bears, Packers, and Seahawks as my wild card teams. All right, Jack.
I am going with Minnesota,
Philadelphia,
and Seattle.
And so you're leaving the Lions out.
I'm leaving the Lions out.
Wow, Jack's got the Lions out of the playoffs.
I don't trust that offensive line like I have in years past.
Okay.
And I don't. People love Jared Goff, and he's been very good recently. But we saw that offense take a step back last year, and I just don't know if I trust it again.
All right. All right, C-Cat.
Bears, Commanders, if you forgot about
Ooh.
Them, and Cowboys. So both Seattle and Niners out.
So you have no Niners, you have no Packers, you have no Seattle. Yeah, nope. I don't. You know, the one I struggled with a little bit was the Niners, but, again, the injury bug that we already talked about with them and the tough division and – I love Shanny, man. I really do. But I kind of struggled that one. I went back and forth. Like, I kind of wanted to put him in, but
do you know who I think has an outside chance, but the division is just too tough? New York, the Giants.
I said it yesterday.
With Jackson Dart.
So I said it yesterday about the Giants. I was like, could that be one of the weird, sneaky, like, 4-win teams that wins a division? I can't get there, though, at the end of the day.
Because
I can't.
They have to play the Eagles twice. They have to play the Cowboys twice, and Washington's not pushovers.
And let's face it, can Scadabo and Jackson Dart even play full seasons?
Scadabo.
Can they? I'm serious. I mean, like.
And does John Harbaugh even like Scadabo? No, he's been kind of doesn't like. Scadabo is who he is.
I know.
That's why people liked him last year. I don't know if Harbaugh likes that.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling it a little bit, Jack. Again, this was something we discussed on the show yesterday, like as the out of the box prediction. I'm like, could the Giants be like sneaky good? But I have a hard time getting there. I'm not betting they're over. I'm not picking them to make the playoffs. But I guess as we do the show today to start things off, I wouldn't be stunned, I'd put it that way, if they are a sneaky good team when all is said and done. But that combination of health, and if the game's passed Harbaugh by a little bit, I got to be honest, I don't know if I love Matt Nagy as their play caller either. So there's a few things I question that'll make me stop short of like falling in love with the Giants too much, but I guess just flag it. They could be sneaky good this year. We'll see how it goes. All right, let's move on to the AFC. Yerk, I think this is an interesting one in the North. Who are you going with? I think the opinions might vary here.
I'm going with Baltimore.
Okay. I wrestled with this one a lot, and I'm putting my eggs in the somehow they'll stay healthy and the O-line will protect him better basket, which could be crazy. I'm going to go Bengals.
Okay.
And they're priced very similarly. Yeah, Yurko is like going back and forth.
No,
he scratched it out.
I scratched out, yeah.
And I'm going to go Bengals, but
when we get to the wild card, it's good news for the Bengals.
All right, Jack, who's winning the AFC North?
When Lamar was back last season, that was a different team, and they almost snuck into the playoffs last year. I'll go with the Baltimore Ravens. As long as Lamar stays healthy, they should be the team.
Okay. See, Kat?
Also going Baltimore here.
All right, so I'm out on the limb here. I'm going Bengals. You three are going with the Ravens.
Yeah, but I got the Bengals in the playoffs, though.
Yes.
I
have the Ravens in the playoffs, too. Yeah. All right, in the East, who wins the East?
Buffalo.
This was tough. I went with Buffalo, too.
Buffalo.
Give me New England. I think
CK, you go Buffalo?
Yeah.
All right, and Jack, you're going New England.
I'm going New England. The coaching change didn't do much for me in Buffalo, so I'm going to go New England, I think.
Okay. I like Joe Brady. They got to get their defense figured out. And for all the regular season success that they've had, and Sean McDermott came along at a good time for them and got them right after like 15 horrible years. I understand that. The defense was way too much of a problem in the biggest games for a defensive-minded head coach. And so if they can figure that piece of it out, maybe things will be a little bit better. Yurko, the South, who wins it?
South, Houston Texans.
I am also going with the Houston Texans. It's another over I like on the year, too.
Great defense, Carm.
The baddest on the block, as I said yesterday. Not the Rams, it's the Houston Texans. Jack, who are you going with in the South?
I am going to go with the Indianapolis Colts.
Wow.
They started 6-1 with Daniel Jones last season.
Off
he's coming
Achilles?
Back from injury.
They lost their final seven last year.
They did, but that was without their quarterback, and they didn't have a good backup, and now they actually
have
a quarterback.
They had Phillip Rivers playing for them.
Yeah, they had Phillip Rivers and Riley Leonard and Anthony Richardson.
They had Phillip Rivers come
out
of
the most ridiculous group of quarterbacks of all time.
Ridiculous.
I am going to go with the Colts. I think with Daniel Jones there, it's a legitimate team, and so I think they can make a run for it.
I like the coach, but all right, Jack's going with the Colts. That's a little bit out on a limb. Where are you going with C-Cap?
My favorite out on a limb is the Titans to not only win the division, but win a playoff game this year. Salah and Daboll.
How about that?
Cam Ward is
That's
a special
out
talent.
On a limb.
Oh, boy.
That's out on a limb.
Nobody taking the Jaguars.
I have the Jaguars missing the playoffs this year.
They win 13 games last year.
The Jaguars won 13, yes.
Quietest 13-win season I can remember.
They won their final eight to win 13 in a row, and Houston won their final nine.
AFC West, Yerk.
AFC West, Chargers.
I am also going with the Chargers.
Chargers.
Got a lot of love for my guy, Justin Herbert.
I think that offense this year with Mike McDaniel is going to be electric.
Me too.
I will also go with the Chargers.
All right.
Broncos.
Broncos, okay. So, Yurko, give us your three wildcard teams in the AFC.
In order, the Cincinnati football Bengals, the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay,
I also
so
have Jacksonville missing. I had Jacksonville missing. And I've got the Denver Broncos as a wild card coming out of the West, which means KC has trouble again this year.
Yeah, I have KC missing. We'll see how this goes with Mahomes back. I have the Patriots getting back in. Super Bowl hangover be damned, Yurk. I do have the Patriots getting back in as a wild card. I've got Lamar and the Ravens, and I've got Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. So those are my three wildcard teams in the AFC. Jack?
I will go with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think with Burrow, that offense will be electric. Give me the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, so you got Jayville in. So no Patriots for you, is that right, Jack? Oh, no, you picked them to win the division.
No, the one that's out there is the Broncos.
Is the Broncos, gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
Got the Steelers, Reunion, Rodgers, and McCarthy. I think they can scrap together a 10-win season. I've got the Chiefs bouncing back, and I've got the Chargers.
All right.
Omitting the Patriots.
I mean, Mahomes is going to be healthy, right? Are we writing off the Chiefs too soon?
Maybe. We'll see. I left them out, but maybe.
What does it mean, they're going to be healthy? What does it mean he's going to be healthy?
He's going to be on the field.
How long will he be healthy?
Well, and
that's your question.
And have they finally fixed some of the problems that plague that offense, as brilliant as he is? I mean, like, who's going to do it, you guys? Rashee Rice, who's always he's a knucklehead and always causing trouble. Xavier Worthy, who, you know, is he just kind of a gadget guy?
Or is he going to mature into being the guy?
And they were
Travis
also
Kelce's old.
They also
older than dust
would have had to run the table or close to it with Mahomes if he didn't get hurt. They were having a horrible start to the year.
You know, and they had a terrible record in one score games, and so sometimes that stuff has a way of sort of evening out the next year. So we could be, some of us anyway that are leaving them out could be talking about their demise a little prematurely. We'll see. But I don't know where the threats are. I mean, maybe Tyquan Thornton, because he can provide some of, like, you know, some of that deep threat and the ability to take the top off the defense a little bit. But I don't know, man. See if Andy Reid can kind of reinvent that offense on the fly here.
Yeah.
All right. I've got the Steelers out, too. I thought about them. You know, I did. I thought about
them. That's why I crossed off. I crossed Pittsburgh off.
Old man Rodgers can't throw the ball.
He doesn't want to hold on
Pittsburgh
to it. He doesn't want to throw it.
Baltimore twice late in the year to get to where they got, which was 10, and got them into the playoffs. I don't think that happens this year.
That defense is getting older. So I've got some questions about them, too. Yeah. McCarthy does have a tendency to get to a place and win a lot of games.
We'll find out.
As much as I don't love him as a coach, he's won a lot of games.
Yeah,
so.
But we'll find out.
All right, Yerk, who's the MVP?
MVP of the league? I have the quarterback, C.J. Stroud.
Okay, wow.
Texans, C.J. Stroud.
I'm going to go Joe Burrow. Let's see if it fires, if he stays healthy. I'm going Burrow this year.
Justin Herbert with Mike McDaniel.
I'm
between
pick.
Justin Herbert and Caleb. Here's my thing. I think the Bears are going to run the ball more than the Chargers do because McDaniel likes to throw the ball a bit.
He likes to run it, too.
He does to run it, too. You're not wrong.
He's got a good offense. He's part of the Shanny mold.
I will go with Justin Herbert. I think that offense's stats are going to be huge.
I like it. All right. C-Cat.
I think Lamar can do it again. He's a big chip on the shoulder guy, and I think that he's going to show up and show that he wasn't the problem with some playoff falling short the past several years.
Every one of us has an AFC quarterback, just a different AFC quarterback.
Yeah.
All right. Defensive player of the year, Yerk. Who are you going
Miles Garrett.
I'm going Will Anderson, but those are kind of like the two chalky ones. I get that. I'm going a little chalky there.
Yeah.
I mean, Garrett's unbelievable. I'll go Will Anderson. Who are you going with, Jack?
Miles Garrett.
How about a weird one here? Trent McDuffie.
That's not weird at all. I mean, I'd pick a few other corners probably before I got to McDuffie, but I don't think it's weird.
I think he's going to be set up for a lot of just pressure on the quarterback, ball on his way, high interception numbers possibly.
Okay.
We had a defensive back recently get defensive
I think Surtain won it a couple years
Patrick
ago. Did he not?
Surtain,
yeah,
right.
I think Pat Surtain won it a couple years
ago. Yeah, more reasonable than a running back as a offensive player.
Oh, for sure, It's either it's really a quarterback. Oh, I'm sorry. Defensive player of the year. You can get a defensive back,
right?
You know,
you
more than you'll get a running back win MVP,
right? And you can get a linebacker that does it too.
Yes.
So
mostly a pass rusher.
That's fine.
All right, who are you going with for coach of the year?
Coach of the year, D'Amico Ryans.
That's a great call. It's a great call. I'm going to go Brian Schottenheimer. Jack. Ben Johnson, by the way, is like 20-1. He's about the fifth choice.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. I'll also go with D'Amico Ryans.
All right,
in Houston, I think. Yeah,
Bob Sala.
You've got a lot of love for the Titans.
Boy,
and if they're
Rob
as good
Sala.
As you think, he'll win
oh,
it.
Oh boy!
All right, Yerk, and your Super Bowl is
my Super Bowl is the Texans versus the Rams.
My Super Bowl is also the Texans versus the Rams.
You're kidding me.
I'm 100% serious.
I am beside myself.
And I have the Texans beating the Rams in the Super Bowl in LA.
I have a Rams victory.
All right, so Yurko's going Rams over Texans. I'm going Texans over Rams. Jack?
Bears. Ravens.
I love it.
Bears win.
I love it. Let's go. Let's frickin' go. I love it.
Broncos Bears. Over Rams.
Broncos over Rams. So three of us have the Rams making it to their building for the Super Bowl.
But you missed Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, we could do those real quick.
Well, we always did it, so I don't know why we wouldn't do it today.
Offensive Rookie of the Year, who are you going with?
Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to go chalk there.
Yeah.
You know who I'll mix it up with a little bit?
One of the receivers? Like, Ted McMillan was a nice surprise last year. So is there a receiver?
I'm going to go his.
I thought the guy with Philadelphia.
I'm going to go his teammate last year, Jadarian Price. How about I do that? We'll each take a rookie Notre Dame running back.
You got the other running back.
I'll go Jadarian Price as the. But it's hard not to go with Love as the chalky guy now. Who are you going with,
Jack? I really like Price as well. My thing with him is I think KC Concepcion is a burner, and I think he might be one of the best.
Throwing him the ball?
That's the issue, though. He's not going to put stats up because they don't have a quarterback, even if he's the best offensive rookie out there.
Yeah.
My sleeper is Ted Hurst, but I'm going to go with Jadarian Price, running back Notre Dame. Ted Hurst, receiver for the Buccaneers.
Yes.
If any of those guys get hurt, he has a starting job.
All right. See, Cap?
Going with number one overall, Fernando Mendoza.
If he gets in there.
He'll play. No, he will. He will.
When he gets in
there. He certainly will. All right, and defensive player of the year,
Rookie defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I'm sorry, defensive rookie of the year, yeah.
Reuben Bain Jr.
That's kind of where I'm thinking here, man. You know, I think David Bailey's going to be really good. I'm between him, and you know who's an interesting pick? Because I think he's going to be
Arvell Reese.
There's two guys.
Go ahead.
I'll give you two defensive backs to watch, and maybe you guys put a little shekel or two down on this for some longer odds, slightly longer. I think Mansoor Delane's going to be a beast with Steve Spagnuolo, and how do you not love Caleb Downs and what he brings to the table in just sort of he's everything that these new age sort of hybrid safety linebacker guys are kind of like. Yurko's going to go Reuben Bain. I think that's a great call. I'll go slightly off the board and go Mansoor Delane in Kansas City for my defensive rookie of the year. Jack?
I'll go with David Bailey from Texas Tech.
By all accounts, training camp was phenomenal.
He was good.
Bears are going to see him, in week four? Bears are going to have to deal with him?
I'm tempted to pick Thieneman because I think Thieneman's very good. But the issue is I don't know if there's going to be enough pressure to force sacks, to force bad throws, to force interceptions.
I don't know if our defense will be good enough.
Goes away from Thieneman. But I'll go with David Bailey.
All right.
Chalk. Reuben Bain.
I think Bain's going to be real good. I do. I like him in that defense down there. All right, there you go. There's the full prediction show. Courtney Cronin's going to talk Bears with us just after 11:30.
Did I do okay?
Yeah, I think you did great. Yeah. I think you did. Now, why are you throwing it away?
We got a recording of it.
We'll be right back. Kickoff tonight, 7:20 in Seattle. And the defending champs are a 3-point favorite against the team they beat in the Super Bowl earlier this year.
I thought it was two in a chair.
Three.
Three. Stretched out to three already.
Stretched out. It's been kind of sitting in that spot for some time now. The Rams have taken a little money getting that thing over the key number of three. San Francisco now getting 3.5.
I like it.
The Bears are a 3-point favorite going into Carolina this weekend.
80% of the public is on the Bears minus the 3.
That's a lot. You know, not a bet I'll make, although my number has this closer to 4 than 3. But
does
still,
it?
Yes.
We'll find that out Friday when we talk to Todd Furman.
Yeah, we'll see what Todd thinks.
Yeah. Bet Your Podcast? Bet Your Pod? Is that what he has?
Bet the Board.
Bet the Board Pod?
Bet Your Podcast.
You Bet Your Sweet Ass Podcast.
That's a good name for a podcast.
You bet it is.
Your Sweet Ass.
Yeah.
Might change the name of the odds couple to Bet Your Sweet Ass.
You and Mikey.
That is a great name for a gambling podcast.
I'm here for it.
How do we not have that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's already out
Maybe
there
we do.
I just stole it from somebody.
Maybe we do. I like it.
You know, there's only 75 million podcasts
out there. I know. There's
a
lot of them now.
Three that make money.
Oh, I think it's more than three at this
point. Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think in the early days of it, you could say that. But now I think there's probably
there's more people monetizing.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of them now. I think there are. That's the future, whether we like it or not, man.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, fight the future, they say.
That's what they say. Andy's in Bloomingdale. What's going on, Andy?
Hey, guys. I got a question. Maybe you guys can answer it. What do you guys think as far as where the fans are going to be happiest this year with defense? Will it be the pass rush with sacks, maybe the stop and the run? Or total takeaways for the season? All three, maybe one, maybe none. What's your opinion?
Where are they going to succeed the most? I think that's what Andy's asking. I think the run defense will be a little bit better. I sure hope so. You know, Yurko's talked about the downward trend here the last couple of years. I think that's why they really added a lot. I mean, they brought bodies in.
Yeah, they've got four new guys on the interior.
Yeah.
Four new guys on the interior.
You know, I'd probably... I'd probably put my money there.
Against the run?
Yeah. That it's a little bit better.
And hopefully it sets things up. I said yesterday that I just hope the collection of whatever they've got, the collection of whatever they have with each other is better than the individual parts.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping
for.
The
sum's better, right?
That's it. That's all you can hope for because none of it inspires me yet.
Yeah.
None of it's inspirational. Haven't seen anything yet out of the guys that are going to play the most.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll check it out. Hopefully they play the run better. That's all I can ask for.
All right, 312-332-3776. We'll go up to Allison, get a midweek update with Courtney Cronin when we come back next.
When it comes to my ride, I don't mess around. Advantage Chevrolet. 3 locations, Chicagoland's covered. You want a Chevy? They've got it. You want savings? Oh, yeah. Most important, trust. No run around. They shoot you straight. Advantage Chevrolet Bridgeview. Together, let's drive.
You're home for Chicago Bears football for the 2026 campaign, which does officially begin in Seattle tonight. The Bears kick it off with the rest of the league on Sunday, noon Central Time, 1 o'clock Eastern Time.
Yeah,
Crona will be there.
Yeah.
And she joins us now.
Can't wait to talk to Courtney.
Network pregame starts at 9 o'clock Sunday morning. Oh, we're off and running.
I want the inside scoop. It's what I want.
She joins us on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Courtney is brought to you by Costa Ivone, your local personal injury lawyers. I mean, there hasn't been this much hype and anticipation in quite some time. I know that we were kind of excited in Caleb's first year as Eberflus's last, but I think the Eberflus thing was still kind of like rolling around in the back of a lot of our heads, Courtney. Like, I don't know if this is really going to work with this guy. But this, there's a lot of juice here. It feels like in a 2019, but I'm even more optimistic. I believe more in Ben Johnson. I believe more in Caleb Williams than I ever did in Mitch Trubisky. So there's a lot of hype going into this thing this time around.
There is, and the bar's been set. So it's like how close do they get to meeting the bar, to surpassing the bar, to falling short of where the bar was from a year ago? That's makes for a really exciting dialogue around this team, both locally and nationally, because now they are in a different class of the NFL. Like I call it like an NFL tax bracket. Like they're in the, they say that they're not the hunted just yet. And I think that's probably a smart place to be because you've seen teams like Washington achieve all that success in year one of Jaden Daniels, and then we see them fall off last year. Same thing with the Houston Texans a couple years ago. C.J. Stroud has that great first year and then hasn't been able to meet that same level of achievement for himself and really for the team. So they're hunting still. I think that's the right mindset to have, that you haven't done anything just yet because you could be a blip on the radar and that you could be back to being irrelevant and being one of the bad teams in the NFL. But they're trying to stay in that category of good, and I think they have the tools to do that. Thus why the expectations are set as high as they are this year.
Yeah, it can happen quick in the league. You're right, especially if you don't get exceptional quarterback play. And hopefully Caleb continues to elevate himself. Yeah. Into that status, that's the one thing that'll, you know, you'll repeat 10 win seasons every year when you've get outstanding quarterback play. So hopefully the Bears are getting there. What is your expectation, as you understand it, about Rome's availability for the opener on Sunday?
So they think he's going to be good to go for Sunday, which is a great sign considering when he left practice Thursday, he then missed Monday's session. He missed yesterday's session. Yesterday was a padded practice. So he won't have that probably the rest of the week because you get so few of them when they get in season. But it's not the same foot injury. So I guess that's probably the silver lining to all of this, that while apparently it did look like a foot discomfort or some sort of issue that he was dealing with that caused him to leave on Thursday, it's not here we go again with the same thing that put him out for a big portion of the season at the end of the year last year. And they just never really was right for him ever since he had that foot injury. So I anticipate we'll get the injury report today. It's going to be an estimation because their players are off today and they went about it kind of on a Monday night schedule this week. They did it last year when they were actually playing a Monday game. So I think they just kind of like that for week one to get good work in the early portion of the week, give the players a day off, and then reset for Thursday, Friday. But if we see him out there tomorrow, I think it's a good sign that even if he has to kind of slow play this thing, might be on a pitch count, that he'll be available for Sunday. But we really won't know until we see whether he's going to be on the field, and we'll truly get a gauge today when we see the injury report as to what it is, if it's not indeed the exact same thing that it was before, which Ben Johnson said that it wasn't.
Yeah. What is, does anybody have any idea whatsoever about Ozzie Trapillo's real timeline here? And will we love to second guess. I mean, like, will we be 6 weeks into the season and he's not back and we're going to second guess, like, wait, why didn't you just IR him? What do you think the deal is with Ozzie and his rehab?
Well, they need him in practice right now. Okay. So if you put him on PUP, if you put him on IR, like if we were to continue his stay on PUP and just have him be there for the first four games of the season, he doesn't get to practice. Right. And as Ryan Poles and both Ben Johnson have said, like getting him into training camp, even if he's not doing team drills, he's still ramping up. And these are important reps that he needed to get in order to then start getting into football shape and start, you know, seriously considering playing this year, or being in position to play this year. So I get that it looks, you know, because we don't get to see what happens now behind closed doors because we're only there for the beginning of practice. But when we were there for training camp, he wasn't doing any team drills, but it was still remarkable when you think about the type of injury that he had to see him out there for any stretch of time. So it's been about 4 weeks. It was the 16th of August when he was activated off PUP, and that's when he was able to go back to practice. I would imagine that if they felt comfortable not putting him on PUP or IR or anything to start the year, that he'll be ready at some point within this first month. Otherwise, you wouldn't have cost yourself a roster spot when, you know he's going to be part of your plans eventually. But you think, I want to get this ramp-up period with him done now so that when, let's say, 4 weeks go by and you're looking at that week five game in Green Bay and say, all right, well, maybe now's the time. Instead of then, if you were to like have him on IR to give yourself another roster spot or PUP, then you're starting that process week, whatever, and moving him, you know, you probably don't get him till the halfway point of the season. So I would imagine if it was worse than they thought, they would have kept him on PUP for far longer than, you know, the couple months that they did, and having him in a situation where he's actually considered a contributor this year. So I think as much as there's not a timeline, and Ben kind of did say two things, you know, at once that kind of, you know, contradict each other. He said, I don't have a timeline on it. I can't say it's in the near future, but it sounds like it's sooner than later. You got to kind of look at that in like the middle and say, all right, well, maybe the first month of the season will give them an indication on how long they can ride this thing at left tackle with Braxton Jones, and B, how much Ozzie's doing in practice to know whether he's going to be able to go take his job back by the second quarter of the season.
Yeah, sooner or later, that seems to be the same thing that Kyler Gordon's camp said Kyler Gordon. The problem is, over the course of an NFL season, sooner than later is usually week nine. That's your fulcrum point. That's the middle. So week nine, are we going to see Kyler Gordon before week nine, or will we see him after week nine?
Well, what Rappaport reported yesterday was that he went to go work with his own people. So that tells you a couple things, that this is it. This is the last-ditch effort, because by Kyler leaving the team to do that, it shows you, like, hey, whatever the team's doing is not working for me, so I'm going to go try to get right on my own terms with the people I'm comfortable working with so I can then give myself the best shot to come back. And frankly, when they're in season, these guys who are on IR, on PUP, yes, they're in the facility working out, but there's a disconnect that you feel. When I've talked with players who have been like injured for long stretches, you're in the training room with the same guys and the same people every single day. But you might be in meetings and all those things, but it's hard to feel like you're part of the team when you're not going out to practice and you're rehabbing just to be able to get back healthy. And I think there's probably it's probably a good break for both sides, considering he was there all summer. Nothing was working to the point where he could get on the field. You got to try something else to make it look like you're putting in the effort to try to get back. So yeah. I think it's hard. I think it's really hard with him to figure out, okay, is this a couple weeks? Because his PUP window to come off PUP to go back to, or not to come off of it, but to return to practice, the 21-day window he'd have is September 21st. Does this mean this is a short two-week stint and he's trying to get back before then? Maybe, maybe not. But this, I don't see how you can go back to, if this doesn't work, I don't know what you do next. Because he's through his actions and through what we know from what the team has said, they've tried everything internally at Halas Hall, and now he's saying, that's not working. I have to go work with my own people to try to give myself a shot to get back on the field. And I don't know how you go back to the team if it doesn't work with your own people to then try something new, but you're just delaying this process even further.
The word you're looking for is invisible when you're hurt.
Yeah,
people look right through you. I've been hurt. I've had a broken leg in the fourth week of the season, and people don't look at you. They look right through you. They don't, you know, they barely want to talk to you. You are invisible when you're injured in an NFL locker room. It's a terrible feeling.
And we've heard how the teams talked about it, too. Like, that's, you know, him putting that video out of doing whatever that thing was where he's jumping up and down on the field on the grass last week. It's pretty calculated timing when Ryan Pohl says, I don't know if he's going to play for us again. And, you know, that the player knows what the perception of him is. When Ben Johnson talks about trust and, you know, that it's hard to gain trust when you're not on the field. And when he mentions Ozzie Trapillo and how, you know, truly remarkable his recovery was, and that you have a lot of guys, most guys or whatever he phrased it, trying to get back on the field that are injured, and you know, we want the guys who are here, like that's where our attention is. You feel that as a player, you feel like, you know, kind of being an outcast in a lot of ways. And I don't want to speak for Kyler because he has not spoken on this publicly, but the perception there is that it's on you, it's on the player to make something, to make this shake, because we've tried everything and now it truly is the onus on him and a last ditch effort to get back on the field to start giving them some return on investment on that contract that they gave him.
Nothing out of it so far since he got all that money.
Five games.
Yeah. How many is it, Courtney? Five?
Five. There's three regular season games. Yeah. Remember, he started the season on IR.
Right.
And then
the
he came back and he was there for the two playoff games. Yeah. Let's give him credit for that. Five but games. It was five games is nothing compared to the 3 years, $40 million salary that he signed last offseason.
And it'll be at least, you know, four games missed this year. All right. Anything else we should know for Sunday?
Well, Braxton Jones is a left tackle, and I feel like we would be talking about this in a much bigger setting had it not been the obvious answer. But Ben Johnson said it yesterday and still kind of had that same caveat as last year when I asked him about, like, well, you know, how much of a sample size do you need to see to know this is going to get us by for X number of weeks? This is not working. It is working. And I think you follow the same path that they went on last year where it was a month. It was the first four games. He gets benched before week four is over at halftime, before halftime. And I'm not saying that that's where this is headed again. I think he's in a much better space and he's proud of himself, as he should be. Like, you've started, this is your fifth season opener and you're a fifth round pick from Southern Utah. Guys like him don't usually make it this far in the NFL. And he knows he's got a lot at stake here to stay healthy, to give them a high level of play. But the way that Ben intimated is that, you know, Ozzie is very much a factor when they are ready to put him out there. And it's just, you got to figure how long is Braxton going to get you, because they're not in a place where they can really mess around with this offensive line. It was the strength of the team last year, and it remains like what they want to be the strength of the team going forward.
All right, Courtney, thanks for the update. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There's Courtney Cronin, brought to you by Costa Ivone on the Yuengling guest hotline. It's Carmen and York. We'll wrap it coming up next. The NFL season kicks off tonight. A couple of games this week before the rest of the league gets going Sunday afternoon. You'll catch Bears and Panthers right here in your home for Bears football, ESPN Chicago, and the ESPN Chicago app. Pre-game coverage with Waddle, Sylvie, and Dion starts at 9 sharp. Three full hours this year. Joniak and Thayer and McKee on the call at noon, and then Yurko and Peggy will have the postgame. Joniak joins us tomorrow at 10. Jason McKee will join us every Friday. Same with Todd Furman live in Vegas, to get you set for all the best handicapping for the weekend, both college and pro. It is back, baby. We have made it to the NFL season. And Carmen and York is presented by the Advantage Dealer Group, the destination for your next Chevy, Acura, Toyota, and now Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Hodgkins. Find your advantage at Advantage Dealer Group. You've got bocce tonight and football. That's a pretty nice night.
Yeah, a little bocce tonight. 7:30.
As we're watching the game.
Just found out I had a game yesterday. Got the old rolling technique out. Got to get cigars ready.
Wednesday night football and bocce ball.
I really like to employ the cigar is to kind of unsettle the other team.
Really?
Who may become enamored either with the cigar smoke or become upset with it. Either way, I don't
either
care.
Either way, you win.
Yeah. Either way, I don't care. It's what I do is unsettle. Find something that may be a quirk or an advantage for the good kid. Then you got to do it. Got to pound it, baby.
Just spending a day with this guy. I mean,
Parham, you're welcome to come down
around for 1 week and just,
Jackie, come down.
I mean, that's what we need to do, Jack. Take the camera. By the way, it wasn't Jack on the boom yesterday. We said he looked like Scotty in Boogie Nights. It was Nick Maxalla. I didn't know it was Nick.
Nicky?
Yeah, it was Nicky the Fish.
Nicky the Fish?
I thought it was Jack. We both did. So he's got a little Scotty going on over there. We were just busting balls. You didn't look like
that's
Scotty.
That's what we do, you know?
How's the hot tub set up? It looks nice.
It was a cool hot tub.
Did you jump in?
No doubt about it. I did not
did
get in. No, I was in charge of all the equipment. Didn't want to get it all wet. But Joniak and Thayer both dipped their toes in.
Yeah, they didn't really get in. They just
their knees were in.
I was wondering how our senior producer ended up just being optioned out like that.
Yeah.
Jack
and Nick are there.
I know, but I couldn't figure it out exactly.
Yeah, they're important for all the video content.
I'm just trying to figure it out, you know? Yeah. Just like, woof, gone. Whoa. I'm like, what the hell happened? Just trying to figure
When's
it out.
When's the video going to be up on the station's YouTube page?
The video, we're targeting the end of the week.
Should be end of the week. And it's Sylvie, Joniak, and Thayer in the Bullfrog.
What a combination. Yeah, what a trifecta.
It
right
is a combination.
There.
Joniak tomorrow at 10.
Who survives in prison out of that three?
Thayer, are you kidding? Of course.
Thayer's surviving.
And even Thayer might tell you it's going to be hard. I don't think it's easy to survive in prison, but I'm going with
Thayer. Just purely height-wise, I feel like Jeff and Sylvie could stand on each other's shoulders.
And we wouldn't
be the same height as
I'm
Tom.
I'm not surviving in prison.
I think the last guy violated is Thayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Define survive.
Yeah. I got a substantial backside, so they'd have a field day.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they sure would. They sure would. I'm not surviving.
No true words have been spoken, Jeff Ring. Oh, my heaven.
Jack is appalled. Whoa. Thanks to Jack McGrath, the CCAT. Thank you to Courtney Cronin and Jesse Rogers. And most importantly, thanks for listening and calling into today's show.
We went a whole show without licking.
Believe it or not, we did. Enjoy the opener tonight. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Waddle and Sylvia are with you at 2. Rich Eisen is next.